I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views. Preview. I wanted to cover one last thing that sort of also relates to all of this. You were on the ground recently, I believe, covering Bernie's rally in Chicago, and the media coverage of it has tended to go towards... you know, oh, it's all just a bunch of white guys and, you know, the Bernie bros narrative. What, though, did you see? And did it differ from the mainstream narrative?
Yeah, so, I mean, I wanted to see for myself. I think there's this idea that Bernie is not attracting people who are a cross-section of America, and that he has a long way to go with black voters in order to win their votes in the Democratic primary. And we're really far off from needing to be concerned about this. There are many months in which this campaign is going to have to lay a foundation to build the sort of grassroots army that it needs to canvass and win votes. And but, you know, very early, they're addressing the issue of, are black voters going to support us? And they're doing so by transforming the platform of their campaign into one that addresses criminal justice issues, that talks about mass incarceration, police brutality, that addresses gentrification of black neighborhoods, people being forced out because rents are going sky high and they can no longer afford to live there. They're addressing affordable housing, cash bail, people who are put in jail, and they're put in jail because they cannot pay the cost of bail. So they have to stay in jail while they're waiting to go on trial. And they're addressing these issues that are important to African Americans in this country. They're diversifying their campaign. They're bringing in people. So it's not just run by white people. And I'd say at their events, they're attracting people that are Latino, black people. And then, in fact, polls are showing that he's doing pretty well with younger black people, as he did the whole time during the 2016 campaign. It was always said that it was mostly just appealing to white progressive voters, and it was never true because Latino millennials, black millennials, what was the problem for his campaign was you have many black voters above 35 or 40 who have closely identified with the Democratic Party. And they wanted to do what the Democratic Party was saying, which is, we chose Hillary Clinton, and so we're going to go along. And black people have always had an affinity for Bill and Hillary Clinton, and that's not a fairly controversial thing to say. And so the way that shook out was that it was very difficult for him to make gains. But I don't think any problems that he had in 2016 necessarily had to do with him having a campaign that wouldn't have been supportive of African Americans. However, he was really reluctant to talk explicitly about race. And then now in Chicago, the message is completely transformed. We're putting grassroots activists that are from black communities in Chicago, and this is where I live. I'm based in Chicago. So you're putting people on stage who are involved in fighting a cop academy that's to be built in Chicago. And people are upset that this police academy that'll cost $95 million would be built when schools are being shut down, when mental health clinics are being shut down. And they'd rather see money go to those rather than this complex that will just be used to you know, give cops a more cushy place of work. And it's be like a compound, and it'll gentrify a neighborhood and push more people out of places that their families have always lived. And so he's bringing an activist on. He's talking about his own civil rights activism.
Yeah, people ignore that. People ignore his involvement in the civil rights movement in the 60s. I noticed someone on Twitter questioned you on that. They're like, oh, he was never a civil rights guy. It's complete nonsense. We know that he was involved in the civil rights movement.
And this was bold activism. I'm not talking about he went to the March on Washington. He walked with everyone. He saw somebody speak on the steps. He went back home. He was sympathetic. No, I mean, like, people should understand he was organizing with others in this group called CORE, that was a very well-known civil rights organization.
One of the most important ones.
Yep. Yeah, along with like SNCC and these other organizations. And they were trying to deal with housing discrimination. There was University of Chicago owned housing units, and they were only allowing white tenants to take these units. They were denying them to black tenants who wanted to move in. And so he tried to bust it up. They were sending people in to ask for new apartments to move into these units. And they'd send black people in. They'd find out they're not available. They'd send white people in. They say, oh, hey, we've got these available. And so then they decided to break that up. You know, the other thing that he was challenging when he came back from the March on Washington was segregated schools. I'd say that there's still a real problem with segregation in public schools in Chicago, but back then it was far worse. And there he was dealing with one of the issues that existed in the 60s, which was that instead of building schools that were going to help black children, instead of giving them the same sort of buildings and educational support that white students had, they were putting these trailers on grounds in order to accommodate students because black schools were overcrowded, and these trailers were horrible. You'd overheat in them, you would boil, you might freeze. There were rats in them. There were probably insects that were crawling inside. They weren't really good places to be sitting in and trying to learn anything. And people, not just him, were challenging these. They would go, they would throw their bodies down to prevent bulldozers or whatever was moving these trailers in, and they were engaged in civil disobedience. They were risking arrest. They were being arrested. This is strong civil rights activism. He's also one of the only people elected in Congress that supported Jesse Jackson's run in the 80s when Jesse Jackson ran for president. That was a huge campaign for African Americans, but for the most part, many in the United States did not want to have anything to do with this. It was the Rainbow Coalition, did not want to have anything to do with it. And so, when I was there, I think it really clashes with, it undermines a lot of what is said about the campaign. There's a lot of time to go, but I think what's really crucial is 3 years later, nearly 3 years later, since he launched his campaign for president, it's really changed. It's sharpened. You know, not only does he talk about income inequality anymore, but he's talking about how the income inequality is actually worse for people of color. And that's proven by statistics. And he's addressing how certain issues need to be addressed. And I think we're all better off because a lot of activism that has been done in the last 3 to 4 years has not only given him space to bolster his campaign, but it's also moved Bernie. I think that like people who have been critical of his campaign have moved Bernie Sanders positively so that he addresses more of these issues that fit into the general Black Lives Matter agenda.